Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I've never been more angry in my life at Guy Montgomery than I am right now.
What?
Hello, and welcome to a special edition of Overlooked and Undercooked, a critical review of the many projects and lives of Rob Schneider. I'm Tim Batt, and this is Guy. Hey, Guy.
Hiya, Tim. Tim and I have just watched on a brisk sort of winter's Wednesday morning, Rob Schneider's first, since his breakout HBO half hour, I believe, actually, his first comedy special, Asian Mama, Mexican Kids, on Netflix. It was released pretty recently. It's a brisk 44 minutes. And this is the first of seven reviews that we will be undertaking together as we explore Rob's offering. I don't think we've ever done this to the, we've never done stand-up comedy inside of the sort of worst idea franchise.
No, we've never given a comedian special the old worst idea treatment until now. what an absolutely fucked one to do it to. It's, well, first of all, a stand-up special, unlike a movie, is, I think, probably a piece of media that would stand up, generally speaking, to multiple watches. Because a good considered special, which most of them are, like if a comedian is getting to the stage of committing that material to a fully fledged production that's going to be streaming online, you're sort of retiring, generally speaking, a bunch of jokes out of your live stand-up circuit. So there's material you've been working on for anywhere between like usually 2 and 5 years. Not in this fucking case. No way, man. I'm pretty convinced Rob Schneider just thought of a lot of these things on the fly on stage.
Yeah. I feel like what you're suggesting through that sentence, Tim, is that this is not a good comedy special. And I am willing to agree with you on that. This is one of the most pedestrian sort of time warp style things I've watched.
We've been watching porn from the 70s recently, and this felt more outdated and offensive than that.
Yeah. It's I often think about it, it's a weird thing watching a comedy special because there is more pressure on the performance than if you were to watch it live in the room, just by virtue of the fact you've chosen to record this and distribute it to more than just the people who wanted to watch it on the night. And so I've always felt as a comedian I'm a harsher judge of specials than I would like to be and than I am of material in the room, because it's like I feel like I'm setting a higher bar to clear. And the feeling I got when I was watching this was like I was sort of paying attention because, you know, in the interest of the podcast and the conversation, it was important to note what was happening. But the idea of watching this in the room, say at the Classic, which is sort of Auckland or New Zealand's predominant comedy club, like I could literally place myself on the balcony inside of my body watching any comedian, any comedian in the country or any comedian I've seen in the entirety of my life opening up any of these premises and literally pulling out my phone to go on any of the apps I have instead of engaging with and listening to what is being said. Like, there wasn't a single thing, an idea that Rob Schneider introduced that was of any interest, relevance.
Okay. Well, we did a fun thing, which unfortunately didn't pan out for me because my laptop crashed halfway through. But we were writing a set list of what it would look like for a comedian to have on stage with them, just a little notebook page with one word prompts for the jokes that you're going to cover in that special hour. But Guy, your one survived till the end, right?
Yeah. So he opens with the same joke that they opened the trailer with, that I, as I watched the trailer with Tim, said sort of aghast out loud, how can that be the joke you lead your trailer with? It's not just how he leads the trailer, it's how he leads the entire special, which is a joke about how, in a set list, it just says sex versus cookies. And the basic premise is, I'm of an age now where I like cookies more than I like sex. And then he sort of opens and explores this premise by imagining that his wife or some unnamed woman has cookies underneath her breasts, and he's much more interested in moving the breast out of the way to enjoy the cookie. And that sort of is like, bang, here I am. Actually, no, that's not fair. First thing he says when he walks out on stage is, you can do it.
I missed that completely. I didn't hear that.
I want to tell you, Tim, that this special was recorded in 2020. In Salt Lake City, mere moments before the world went into crisis and lockdown. Like, this was recorded at a time when the knowledge that COVID-19 is a highly infectious and dangerous disease was out there, but like before there was any actual sort of federal or collective enforced action. And Rob Schneider, for whatever reason, looked at the chicken scratch that he'd put down on a bit of paper and said, I've sold or given away X number of tickets to this taping. I am not calling this off.
Do you know what would have been incredible if he just had descended into a bit of freestyling on his thoughts on COVID on stage?
Dude, like, that, it's
at least
very,
that would be something.
Yeah, it's very grim, but that would genuinely be interesting. It would be wrong, and it would be damaging. But actually, you know, I don't even know that it would be damaging, because I was thinking about this. I was watching this, and Chelsea was in the kitchen making a coffee, and I was watching it very rudely and selfishly just on my laptop with like the audio open to sort of infect anyone else's ear canals.
Normally it's selfish to do the opposite, to keep the comedy to yourself through headphones, but in the case of Rob Schneider's special, it is a meaner thing to let the audio leak out.
And she was just like aghast at what he was saying. She's like, how is this, like, why has no one said anything about this? And I was like, because no one cares, no one knows it's happened. Like, I don't know who asked for this. I don't know if this followed the sort of traditional Netflix model of them paying for a special, or the Rob Schneider Netflix model of him creating something and paying them to release it.
He leaves a tiny external hard drive with play this on a post-it note and a big bag of money outside an executive producer who he stalked and found the home address of. And this motherfucker is sneaking them onto the platform without telling anyone, because it's getting his kids through college. Rob Schneider is paying for this guy to send his child to Stanford.
Oh, it's crazy. So he opens up with his sex versus cookies, then he goes into his fucked up on cheese material, which is like a
his fucked up on cheese material is centered around the premise that young people love to get fucked up. Rob Schneider is in his 50s now. If he wanted to get fucked up, he'd eat cheese. That's the whole joke. That's all of it. It's there.
Yeah, and then he does a great bit about his he's got a personal trainer and how gross he finds ripped old people.
At least that's relatable.
What?
You know? The stretch skin thing. I see where he's coming from there. Get 1 point to Rob, actually. Fuck you, guy. 1 point to Rob.
Congratulations. Look, there was one, I think I hopefully annotated it. There was one joke which I was like, you know what? That's like actually a fairly, like a... a universal observation I've not heard said aloud before.
Was it when he was doing the Chinese restaurant owner accent? Or was it when he was doing his Mexican wife accent? Or was it when he was doing his Filipino mother accent? Was it one actually, of those?
It was no, Tim, it was the great Korean barbecue bit where he did his Korean accent. I'll get to what it was. But anyway, so he does his personal trainer bit. And then he starts talking about his wife, which sort of represents the beginning of the end. Like those three jokes, at least, they were sort of independent jokes. They represented the idea that he wasn't going to, like, I sort of like look at those three as like, here are three jokes or my efforts at jokes or like, here are three sentences. And then it was just this long garbled chunk of like him admonishing himself and his family for enabling him to have a wife and have children. Just paragraph upon paragraph, just reams of like incoherent diatribe.
Sorry to pull you out of this, but like, do you just have the set list? Can you just read me the words that you've written down?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't just do single words, but I go sex first cookies, fucked up on cheese, personal trainer, wife maybe, or wife Mexican, question mark, dick and sweatpants, and that is
a great bit.
Embarrassingly, that's the one that I had earmarked as like, he talks about how it's dangerous having you wearing sweatpants because he'll take his penis out too early when he's doing things, like going to the bathroom. And I have, like, when I've really had to go to the bathroom and been in a house and sort of forgotten myself, like, taken my penis out before I'm in the toilet and then noticed it and be like, this is absurd, this is grotesque. And so to hear him distill, like, an observation that I'd sort of amused myself with before, I'm putting myself on a pedestal above Rob Schneider. Controversially, I sort of signed up for that. And then he took away all the good work he'd done by almost stumbling into an original premise by doing the classic pullback and reveal of being like, but this, I'm in an Olive Garden. It's the sort of like, you know, sir, this is a Wendy's or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, 3-year-old toilet training, 7-year-old nightmares, allergies, third marriage, and then I've got in all caps, my big mother-in-law molestation bit.
Yeah, right.
Which I sort of
sexually assaults his mother-in-law, which is funny because he thought he was sexually assaulting his wife. So you see, there's the twist.
And then the other twist is that his wife is like okay with both of those outcomes because his mother-in-law hates him so much. She'd rather just let the moment of Rob grabbing her in bed pass than talk to him. This special is laced with moments of like borderline self-awareness where Rob articulates just how unliked he is in his immediate community.
Yeah, and it's not only that, but I think he does recognize the why as well. The problem, this is where Rob Schneider falls down. He knows that he's a bad guy and he knows that people hate him. And I think he kind of understands loosely why that's the case. But he has a belief that everyone is as shitty as he is, as a human. And he has all of these routines in the special. Well, not that many. It's a fucking short special. The closer of which is about a 5-minute song that he does with his daughter, who's a legitimate pop star, which we will get to. But he's got so many moments where he keeps... Oh, like there's one joke in particular where he's... It's so bleak. It's so fucking bleak. Where he's talking about how his wife kind of wants to leave him because he's so shitty. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And you'll find someone else because you're gorgeous. But then you'll hate them because everyone's like me. And then you'll dump them and you'll move on to someone else because you're gorgeous. You'll find someone else. And then you'll fucking hate them because they'll be like Rob Schneider too because all men are like me. And it's just like, dude, no. Rob Schneider, no.
Absolutely.
Or like, roll up a newspaper and just bash you on the nose with and that. Then it's not right.
You're sort of looking like you're imagining Rob Schneider as a naughty dog at this point.
Yeah, he is.
And the other sort of logic that was underpinning that joke, and he sort of articulates it at the end, is like, essentially it's also about how his wife is a crazy bitch for being unhappy with Rob Schneider.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really hard to articulate. But yeah, so there's these three preamble jokes. Then there's the, I've got a wife, I've got children, I hate all of them. I hate myself. And he does like a decent chunk. Oh, he does it. He sort of leads into that. He does a molestation bit. Then he does a bit. Rob is Asian. So he sort of outlines that he's got a Filipino mother. And then he sort of starts railing very gently against the against the current Hollywood system, or like against diversity in the arts, by saying he's not the right kind of Asian. And he probably could have actually made some interesting and funny material out of this. But
like,
that's
a promising premise that he leaves on the floor.
Well, you hammered it home inside of our running conversation or our running chat while we were watching the special, which is like, he has such a simple, like, he is. This special really highlights just like how simple this guy is. This is a really, really like fundamentally simple guy who has been at various points in his career in proximity to comedy greatness, and like has managed to successfully. He's an opportunist, I guess. He's parlayed that into a multi-million-dollar career, like a very successful career. But this special really lays bare, which I guess is what stand-up comedy can do. Is like, you know, it can sing and it can be incredible, but like in this instance, it just really highlights how primitive he is, I guess.
Yeah, it's incredibly revealing just about how little was going on in his head, which you can read a few different ways, because to us, I think it's infinitely frustrating to see someone who, and it's the laziness as well. It's kind of like, because having a complexity of thought or like a complexity of worldview is definitely not a necessary step for a good comedy special. You could, like, well done, you could just talk about shapes or something, you know?
Well, he could embrace his idiocy, or it's interesting because if I think about it,
but no work's been done comedy.
If I think about it in comparison to, say, Norm, like, my probably favorite stand-up is Norm Macdonald. And it's like his whole persona is he is an idiot. Like, he presents himself as being so thick. And the work that underpins that is like he's probably the smartest person. Like, in terms of like deconstructing and putting something together, he's probably the most intelligent person in the room. Like, every premise that he prefaces by saying, "I'm an idiot, I don't know anything," comes with about 3 months of like, you know,
reading,
hard graft. And like,
yeah.
And so, but Rob Schneider's just like, I'm an idiot, and that's worked for me, and so I will not work on like presenting this in any interesting or creative or like investigative way. I'm just an idiot.
And then worse still, it's so often not even going, I'm an idiot. It's going, I've got a bitch wife. Let's make fun of her now.
So yeah, so he does. He rails against his wife. He says his mother is Asian. He does this big bit about his mum.
Your catchphrase. Everyone loves a catchphrase. The catchphrase is, see what happens. And I think he uses that in Real Rob from memory as well, right? Isn't that a catchphrase on one of the years?
I think so. And it's it almost works at one point. He displays like a knowledge of mic technique or joke structure, where he does like, there's this thing in comedy called the rule of threes, which is like you do one, two, and then the third one is different or unusual, and that's like the funniest.
You set up your pattern and the funniest twist.
He does like five or six of them. None of them are very funny, but the last one involves his mum being far away. So previously, the four or five before that, when like he does something wrong, he's an idiot as a child, and his mum goes, "See what happens?" The sixth or seventh one, whatever it is, she's far away. And so instead of "see what happens," the delivery is,
"See what happens?"
So that's great.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So pretty that rules.
He sort of introduces this. The introduction of him being half Filipino is essentially a qualifier for the sort of 15 to 20 minutes of horrifically
rampant racism,
racist accent work that defines the middle chunk of this special, which is just Rob Schneider like drawing out jokes that were on the cutting room floor of like all manner of specials from the 90s and early 2000s, which are just like Chinese restaurants that open at Christmas. You ever notice at Korean barbecue, you have to cook your own food? Like the most boring entry-level observations, all punched and spiced up by the fact that here is a 53-year-old man in 2020 unafraid to do the most unabashedly racist and like coverall Asian accent.
In addition to like the accent work, the content is insane. He says at one point, I think, in a Chinese accent, because he's talking about Chinese restaurants being open on Christmas, fuck Jesus, and then goes on to say how like Chinese restaurants have a meal special for 9/11. And it's just like, man, I don't know, Rob. I don't fucking know about any of this.
I almost like within that horrible joke, I almost respected like
the balls.
Well, yeah, because I'm like, he doesn't know he's being offensive with the first part of it, but he's at least like trying out something by veering towards like,
yeah,
what,
I know what you
what
mean.
Would be widely recognized as risque material.
Yeah. There's at least some stakes to it, whereas the other stuff is just like, my wife's a fucking bitch.
And
my
so,
mom is Asian,
and so
I suck.
He does all of this. He literally just does a bunch of like, you know, 5 minutes of a Chinese accent, and then at the end of it, he qualifies it again by saying, "That's not racist; it's accurate." And you think, "What reprieve? Finally, no more of this." And then he instead just dives straight into a bit about how, A, you never see homeless Asian people in America. And then that's another 10-minute chunk of Rob Schneider doing a Chinese accent, and then into his Korean barbecue bit, which is like, it's crazy to me. This part of it, he says, he accuses the Korean barbecue restaurant model of being lazy, but he's like, seems kind of lazy. And I'm like, the lack of self-awareness at any point in the special to have the sentence seems kind of lazy is just so like brazen and oblivious.
So look, something we haven't talked about yet, and I don't know, maybe we should save juicing some of this stuff for the following six episodes. I think about it might even be like the halfway mark of this very, very short comedy special. He introduces a man to come on stage and start playing classical piano, which goes for the rest of the show. Just as an undercurrent to add some pathos to his jokes. And this is where Rob changes gears into trying to approach the Me Too moment in a way at the start and then quickly disregarding it. But then just for the rest of the set, the rest of his show, there's just a pianist playing on stage for him.
Yeah, so you don't really see the pianist when he comes out on the stage. And actually, I will say this, the very start, did you see the very, very start of it? When he's like, he says, welcome, please welcome Rob Schneider. And he's like, side of stage and looking at the camera.
Yeah.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, self-announcing's cool.
It's difficult to find an interesting way for a comedian to get to the stage in specials these days. And that was not necessarily interesting, but it was like, it was somewhat novel. It was like, it was intimate. It felt kind of cool to be there for that.
Yeah, just because that's normally what happens when, like,
so shout out
are doing shows.
Shout out to Rob Schneider for that. Obviously, you couldn't get anyone to tour with him. But, yeah, you don't really...
Not true. You got a blood relative to close the show with him.
Oh, that's true. But you don't see the piano when he walks out the stage after that moment. You don't really, like, notice that there's a piano or, more importantly, a pianist on the stage.
Well, he comes on. He welcomes him on. He does introduce him.
So
very
he does,
briefly.
Like, he does his 20 minutes of accent work, and then he just... turns to the piano and he goes, "Would you mind playing me a little something?" And he as Tim says, sort of very gingerly launches into, he says, "Man, it's been a, you know, there's a lot of men," and he's sort of like fumbling around how to articulate it, which is crazy to be even remotely sensitive or aware, because it just turns out to be another framework for him to rail against his miserable wife.
This is that's the men are all like potential pigs or something, right? I forget the exact wording, but that's
potential
that's
pigs.
Yeah.
All men have pig potential.
Pig potential.
Then that's pretty much him saying all men have pig potential is like the way he opens up the premise that men and women are different. All men want is sex. All women want is relationships. And bear in mind, this comes not 20 minutes after his big opener, which is "I like cookies more than sex."
So then the special gracefully ends with him being joined on stage by his actual daughter, his adult daughter, who is, she was born in 89, so that makes her, what, like 31? King is her name. Daughter of a British model in Rob Schneider,
Jesus.
Who is a very legitimate Grammy-nominated pop star. They just do a karaoke number at the end.
Yeah.
And she is phenomenal. And Rob is shitty.
It's really nuts. It's like that's the moment where you can sort of see he knew he didn't quite have enough to get this over the line. Even with the big bag of cash next to the hard drive, he was like, there needs to be something more than just me.
How staggering is it to do a special? Like, even how much do you think was cut out of the live show to go into this? Because if you take out the song, which honestly was probably about 4 minutes, right? And I think the runtime of this special is about 43 or something like that. So, like, he barely made it to 40 minutes of a comedy special. What confidence?
Well, I'm
going to film this.
Yeah. It's crazy. I also just want to quickly say, because there is, after he opens up the men want sex, women want relationships, and before he brings his daughter out, he did one of the most insane act outs I've seen, which is like, he's talking about, it's not even a premise, but he lingers on it for about 5 minutes, which is like, it's about levels of attraction in a marriage, where he says,
it's a long joke.
If a man is roughly as attractive as his wife, he treats her like this. But if he's married to a Victoria's Secret model, he treats her like this.
You honestly, like, as he's delivering the joke halfway through, you can see the matrix that he's written on a notebook page where it goes like attractive man, attractive woman, Playboy model on the x-axis up the top. And then running down the y-axis, it's like lost car keys, left kids in a mall. And then it's just like all the six different reactions among those different variables. It's really fucking weird. It's so weird to see such a like mathematical approach to trying to make a joke very like nakedly, but it's completely not funny and it just goes really long. And you're like, I see what you're trying to do. Like, I get it. You're trying to do callbacks
It never accelerates. It's like being at a. It's like going for a road trip and you're driving like 100 kilometers and you leave the driveway at 15 kilometers because there's children in the neighborhood. And then the whole way, the car never accelerates. You're just only going at 15 kilometers. And you're like, why are we doing this? This doesn't make sense.
Very strange to see. What did you think of Al King's performance, Guy? Did it rescue the special for you?
Rescue is a generous word. It was satisfying to see someone who was good at their job. And actually, that's not fair to the pianist.
The pianist was fantastic.
Yeah. And so, she's got a great voice. I mean, there's no denying it. He then, like, after delivering, I don't know, half of his special railing against his wife and kids.
It's more. It's honestly more. It's more than 50%.
They he brings them all out on stage as well. And it's like, it's this weird sort of, I feel, honestly, it reads to me as this weird sort of insecure, like, he's aware he's released something. He's aware that this product is not up to snuff. He's aware he might not still carry the goodwill of the audience in the theater or at home. And so
you're wrong.
What is it?
You're completely wrong. That's not what it is. He does not have that level of self-awareness, guy. He absolutely doesn't. It's more like a kid dragging their parents to a music recital where they've been learning violin for 6 weeks. And the parents have to, like, applaud and praise the effort that was done for something that is awful and painful to listen to. He doesn't, he's not trying to undo any evil that he thinks he's done, because he just does not have the brain capacity to recognize what he's up to.
It's borderline unwatchable. And I look forward to 6 more screenings with my friend Tim and perhaps a variety of guests, perhaps one, perhaps none. But certainly anyone we can rope into joining us on this severely misguided journey.
You know who I'd love to get? And I shouldn't say this on the podcast. It's a bad idea to, like, say things out loud, to throw ideas out when there's no intention of, like, making it happen. I would love to get Sloss on to talk about this special.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I was actually messaging with him yesterday. I'll ask. Dude,
you should. That's very fortuitous. It feels like the universe is trying to tee it up. We should do it. I would absolutely love to watch this over the internet and chat about it with Sloss.
Yeah. So first review, I guess we'll do it out of 7 because we're going to do 7 screenings. I give Rob Schneider's Asian Mama, Mexican Kids 1 out of 7.
I'm also going to give it a 1, and I will qualify the 1 star because of the pianist and Al King's appearance.
My 1 is because he made it. And it's easy for us to sit back and talk shit, but he made it. He paid a lot of money for it to go to air. And for that, I say well done.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.